Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
This episode of Bend the Knee is brought to you by our bannermen, Lord Jason of House Ross, Lady Amanda of House Richardson, Lord Adam the Young Bull of House Parker, Sir Peter of House Whittingham, Sandy the Dragon, Blood of Queen Daenerys, and Lady of Jameson, Lord Nelson of the Long Isle, Sir Joshua of House Ross, Lady Liz of House Hendricks, Sir Matthew of House Perry.
This podcast is protected by Lord Hunter the Foulmouthed, Lady Amanda of House Ryan, Lady Rajal of House Stevens, Sir Ron of House Golson, Lord Robert the Unfrozen of House Butler, Lord Paramount of Skagos Island. Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into Arya 3, probably the shortest.
Wow.
Yeah. Most boring?
I think so.
Chapter? I don't know.
Not a lot really happens today, you know, Sir Ezra. It's certainly compared to what we are accustomed to, I think at this point, man, there's just not really a lot going on in today's chapter. But
yep.
Nonetheless, you know, we can use this opportunity to discuss some of the things that are coming up, some other chapters. Next week is, I think it's our first chapter of somebody who was not a main character in Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Davos 1, and then we go to Theon 1.
Right. Yeah, so it starts to pick up, and I get kind of why there's a little bit of a lull here, and I understand there is a little bit of irony here, and Gendry becomes a little bit more important and stuff, but really, it is one of the, I said to you before we started, I'm like, this actually worked out great because the Super Bowl is like later on, so like, I'm ready to, you know, get in here, record, and watch that. And plus, we're actually we're going to use the little extra time that we'll probably have to work on some really cool updates. Should we go ahead and announce those updates?
Well, we'll just go ahead and say this. You know, we said this also on our Wheel of Time podcast and our Star Wars podcast that we have probably a something huge coming for all the shows across the board. All I want to say at this point is just wait and see.
Okay.
Keyword is see.
All right. I got you.
It's gonna be something big. I think everyone's really really gonna like it.
Keep your eyes out.
Those of you that maybe follow me on Twitter can kind of put together the hints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
So yeah, I think it's gonna be really cool. I think it's gonna change the show. For the better. Not that anything's wrong with the show right now, but you know, which is always want to make it better. Always want to improve a little bit.
Upgrade, next level. Let's go.
Yeah. So, and then it is February, so on Valentine's Day I'm going to Vegas for the weekend, not for like anything special. It just happens to be where my girlfriend's family is from, so and tickets are incredibly cheap there. So
yeah,
I'm doing like a little mini vacation to Las Vegas over that weekend. So it's probably going to be when we get back that following weekend is when we're going to film the first episode of Mead, Meat and Cheese, going through the Game of Thrones cookbook.
Yes. So that's interesting. We're talking about updates and places we're going to go. I've said I'd do this before, but I'm going to do this on the fly real quick. And since we have a little bit of time with this Arya chapter, the Dallas Fan Expo, let me see, this is looking at 2020, and I want to get the dates just right, so in case anybody wants to go and kind of meet up, kind of decided this weekend, actually, like either last night or the night before, that this is a go here. So the four Hobbits are going to be at the Dallas Expo Center. And so some of you who follow me on social media will know that I am also into Lord of the Rings. And I love, that's also why I love, you know, Game of Thrones. It was natural for me to go from a reader of that into this, just because George is also a fan. Same thing with Wheel of Time and Robert Jordan. So, yeah, so the four Hobbits, let's see when this is, because I want you guys to come. I think I'm going to fly down there and probably try and meet them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that fan expo here. Good God, can't find this at all. 2020. You think it'd be easier to find, right?
You would.
Yeah, one would think, but yeah.
Yeah, the big one I'm looking at is Ice and Fire Con.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. One is, you know, we've been wanting to go for the past couple years. And two, I have to renew my driver's license by July 1st. So I need to fly back to Ohio for that. People are probably like, why didn't you get a, why haven't you moved to Portland? Why haven't you got an Oregon one? Well, you know, it's because I just like Ohio. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got property out there.
Yeah. You
know,
yeah,
that's where I consider my residence, you know, because hopefully in, you know, a couple of years, I'm just working for my computer,
yeah,
and I'm going to be traveling all back over and forth a lot. I'll be literally spending half my time in Ohio and half my time in Portland.
Yeah, and then, so, you know. Well, and then we'll find some more time to travel around
exactly
the states. So
exactly, man. You know, we also do this really important thing in Ohio called, you know, elect the next president of the United States of America. It's, you know, it's this tiny little power that we have. And you know, people are like, wow, Matt is committing voter fraud. Okay.
Yeah, he's committing voter fraud.
I'm an Ohio resident. I have property out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. So. That's awesome. Well,
so, yeah, got to get that done. Because, you know, you have to take the test. You have to retake the test out here. Even though I was an Oregon resident before and have my Oregon driver's license. What a joke, you know?
That is crazy.
Wait. I don't know that I could pass it.
Because I
remember when I moved back from Oregon to Ohio, and I was like, well, I got to retake the test. I thought I had to retake the test. And so, you know, it's like you don't remember all the questions. Like, do you know what the tread amount is that is required, you know, on your car?
What?
Yeah, all those questions you have to answer when you're like 16. It's like, I don't know that I know all. You know, I know how to drive. But it's like, you know, they ask you all these like they ask you all these like crazy specific questions. And I'm just like, man. When you're sick, it's easy when you're 16 and you take the class and you read the book, but just to like, to just walk in and take it. And it's, I don't know. They ask like some of these questions. They're like, hold on a second. And the way they're worded, I get it, man. I feel for teenagers. They are worded like absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. Let me tell you. So, I mean, I also, I run kind of like a study center and at my school, and I have kids in there who are like, hey, can you help me with, like the driver's test is coming up. Can you help me? Can you quiz me? Or whatever. And I'm going through this quiz with a couple of my kids, and this has been like for the past several years. And I'm just like, some of the questions that they ask me, I'm like, I will answer it and get it wrong. And I'm like, wait a second, this is either baloney or, oh my God, I saw how it was worded or the sign looked funny, or they show me a road sign. I'm like, I've never seen that. I've never seen that road sign.
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, some of these things, it's like, hold on a second. Like, what is the amount of, like, you have to have your turn signal on within X amount of yards. It's like, I don't know.
That's like, mine's been broke for 2 years. I don't know.
Most people, including police officers, don't even use their turn signal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, so then, yeah, so you may be coming back here around for Ice and Fire Con, which is...
which is the end of April.
Yeah, at the end of April, looking like it's the 23rd through the 26th. And that's not too far. It's in a nice little state park, Deer Creek Lodge and Conference Center down in, it's a state park here in Ohio, Mount Sterling, Ohio. So if you're interested in that, I think we are going to try to make a big effort to go to that this year. Before that, I just found it here, the Fan Expo in Dallas, March 27th through the 29th. That is the Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. I want to try to get down there and talk to some of the some of the hobbits, and I don't know who all else is there. I actually think I might run into some. Sometimes you get, you know, Star Wars people there, you get Game of Thrones people. I have no clue, so I'm gonna kind of look and see who else is gonna be at that expo. And then after that, I've got a kind of a decision to make. I have a cousin who lives in Atlanta, and she travels quite a bit. Shout out to her. She's awesome. And yeah, she kind of said that just tell me when and I could come down and stay at her place and go to a, you know, whatever convention I want to in Atlanta. And so, Dragon Con is typically there. I think it is there all the time. And so that's September 3rd through September 7th. So I'm thinking about that. Although, you know, right before that, Sir Matt, we have Star Wars Celebration. So right at the end of August, we have Star Wars Celebration. So I might not be going to Dragon Con this year, although it's been on my list to go to. One I might try to attend is Jordan Con. And Jordan Con is just the weekend before Ice and Fire Con. Jordan Con is also in Atlanta, and it is the, let's see here, April 17th through the 19th. And so I'm hoping to go down there and kind of see what's going on, because we were just talking over on Heroes of the Horn that the new cast for the Wheel of Time series, the new Amazon show that they're making, is going to be coming out either 2020 this year, or it's going to be coming out 2021. There's already been leaked images of it.
I'm very certain that we will get a trailer at Comic-Con.
Yeah. So,
and then my guess is they probably, I think it'll be, you got to think about when are they going to release that? You know, we were talking about that on the Wheel of Time podcast. I'm thinking maybe January after The Witcher, you know.
Sure. Yeah. So
we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. So just exciting. And I thought, you know, these are a couple, one of my things for 2020 was I wanted to get to as many, like whether it's a meetup or a con or what have you, I really wanted to try and do that. So again, Dallas Fan Expo next for sure. After that, probably Jordan Con, and then Ice and Fire Con, and then Star Wars Celebration, and then we'll see from there. So
yeah,
but
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, and for me, I think I'm doing Disney. I guess out here it's Disneyland, right?
Oh my,
Disney World's in
Florida. Oh, man.
Disneyland is in California, and so that's going to be June. But they have the Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have it at both. Yep. Yeah. So I'm gonna. So
yeah, it opened first in California. That, so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you just added to my list. You totally just.
Okay. Well,
I'm gonna be broke.
Let's do it. Yeah.
It's gonna be great though.
So. Yeah. But so, yeah, so Ice and Fire Con for sure this year. That's the one we've been talking about for a while. So I definitely it's on my list.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. All right. Well, with that, I think you guys can tell we got some updates on the show. We got some plans for 2020, and yeah. So, but otherwise, Sir Matt, you're doing well, correct?
Hey, yeah, doing well. Just still crazy searching the internet for any single trickle of news of Winds of Winter. Hasn't happened. Haven't had any more updates. But you know, we'll continue to go along. I'm still holding out.
Yeah,
holding out hope. But we have had some. But on our Facebook group, some people have said they didn't even think it's Bannerman has no name. Left us a comment on Patreon and said, "I don't even think it's going to be two books. I think it's have to be three."
Oh, yeah.
If that's the case, then we'll never see him.
Yeah, I know, because at the rate that he's going, I don't know, man. Think about it: like 10 years to get this one done, another 10 to get the other one done. So when
he'd be 90.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy to think about, but
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Sir Ezra, what real quick on the spot, what's your, since we record these Sunday mornings,
so
people listen to them Monday, obviously, because that's when it's released. What's your Super Bowl prediction?
Oh my gosh, I'm actually not even really into the Super Bowl this year, and it's probably because, you know, it's the two teams I really don't care for, the 49ers and the Chiefs, and I guess I would be okay with the Chiefs, with Kansas City, just because I know San Francisco's had a few good runs. I don't know. Just give it to that program, Kansas City, have fun. I don't know. San Francisco, I'm like, you guys got a lot going for you out there.
Yeah. I think San Francisco is a little bit better of a team, top to bottom. But I like Patrick Mahomes, so I'm going with the Chiefs, 34-28. And you know, I was thinking about this because I'm going to a Super Bowl party later today, and I was thinking about this. I was like, why didn't I go to a Super Bowl party last year? And I was like, oh yeah, because we were waiting to see. Because I was like, well, Ez and I will need to jump on and record if there's a Game of Thrones season 8 Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah. So it's just crazy to think like that's where we were last year.
Right.
And then there was. I mean, well, it was like a teaser. It was the Bud Knight gets killed. Right? I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
He goes up against the Mountain.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I was thinking about that earlier this morning. I was like, why didn't I go to a party? Oh yeah. So crazy to think last year, you know, like all of the hype, everyone was so excited for season 8.
Yeah.
And now we're a year later, maybe not as much, but yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Okay, all right. Well, with that, let's jump over here into the captain's report. Again, thanks to Lord Robert for putting this out here. So, is the drowned god connected to the shrouded lord? And the results on that were no. Overwhelmingly, there was a few votes yes for this, but for the most part, yeah, it looked like the answer is no there. And we've been doing actually it was last week we were talking about Varys, weren't we? And the drowned god a little bit. So I kind of forget about the drowned god. I also just
a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I just don't like you know, the Ironborn is you know.
Well, do you remember when we were doing the World of Ice and Fire and we got to the Iron Islands and we were like, you know, I don't know, they're just kind of boring. And then we got like halfway through the chapter, like, okay, this is actually pretty cool. And then people left us comments about us saying that. That was funny.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, and so real quickly, just for those who we talk more about the drowned god, the shrouded lord is also known as like his gray grace, the prince of sorrows, and it's this mysterious figure, possibly legendary character, right? The history on the shrouded lord is that he's said to rule the mist. So these mists that surround the sorrows and are known to kind of spread grayscale. The gray kiss. So we were kind of wondering, is that similar, like the Roin, we know over there too, is there's a lot of different spirits or gods associated there. Esso seems to have a lot more gods that you can worship. So yeah, it just sort of, people trying to make a connection there between those two. And I don't know. I think it's sort of, it's separate. I think the idea would be maybe if people from this region, you know, came across the arm of Dorne and then they migrated north and found, like, you know, their spot on the Iron Islands, and that group of people stuck together, you know, which kind of can happen when you look at people who, you know, who moved over here to like the New World, you know, the Americas or whatever. Like, yeah, these different groups from Europe and other places would kind of stay together for a while, for a time. So maybe there's that case could be made, I guess. So,
Yeah. Well, you know, the kind of interesting thing about the drowned god is, you know, when we think about it, and it has a lot of parallels to the other religions. I mean, in an odd way, it's kind of similar to R'hllor, in that they also have their own version of resurrection, bringing people back from the dead. They also have an opposing deity in the storm god. You know, they say that they've been fighting for 1,000 years. And so that is also pretty similar to R'hllor in R'hllor versus the Great Other.
Yeah.
But just kind of their own spin on it, their own version on it. And so, you know, is it possible really that it just morphed over time because of the region that they're in, that it actually may have been more of a R'hllor versus the Great Other religion, and it just morphed over time because of their region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, interesting. So, I mean, like, cool, because I hadn't really thought about either one of these, you know, the Shrouded Lord nor the Drowned God, and it's just not one we talk about a lot, so I thought it was it was good for us to mention and maybe stir up the pot a little bit and have some conversation in the group about this going forward. Interesting thing with the Shrouded Lord, when they are passing through the Roin, it's sort of like rumored that he will give a boon or he will give a pass, right, possibly, or a boost to anybody who can make him laugh. And I thought I thought of, you know, Tyrion just being kind of a funnier character and being there. And maybe, you know, he doesn't get grayscale because of that reason or whatever, you know, just kind of connected. So coincidence, but interesting.
Perfect. Oh, and I do want to give a very quick shout out to, Sir, Robert of House Butler. He does, for any of you hockey fans out there, he does run a hockey podcast called Pucks Out. So I just want to give him a quick shout out because he hooks us up.
He does a lot.
Captain's Report. He runs a poll. He does a lot of behind the scenes work for us, and we really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. So definitely go check that out. We'll put a link for it, or maybe he can share one for us in the group too. That'd be great.
So all right. Well, Sir Ezra, are we ready to head over to the reread?
Yeah. Yep. Let's get there.
Okay, so this week we are into Arya 3. Last time we were with Tyrion, where Tyrion had dined with Lord Jaenys Slynt. They discussed the murder of King Robert's bastard daughter, Eddard Stark's execution, and candidates for the commander of the City Watch. Tyrion then has Jaenys Slynt taken into custody to join the Night's Watch. Afterward, he discusses the same topics with Varys. Last time we were with Arya and the others encountered Mord refugees every day as they journey north. One evening they had halted at an inn where they hear news of the war in the Riverlands. Outside the inn, Arya talks with the prisoner Jaqen H'ghar. Soon after, 6 gold cloaks arrive with an arrest warrant for the Bull, but Yoren refuses. After a tense standoff, the gold cloaks retreat. This week, Arya 3, Arya and the others have abandoned the King's Road to avoid the Gold Cloaks. As they travel west, they come upon a burned village. When Arya goes to make water in the forest, she runs into a wolf pack, which scares her. She reports this to Yoren, who laments that they should have taken a ship instead. And that's also pretty much the chapter. There you go, guys. This is a great little reread there.
Yep.
I mean, this is certainly the shortest chapter that I can remember in a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe since the beginning of a Game of Thrones. It's I have the Kindle version. It's about 10 pages, which, considering how long they normally are, is not very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I was telling you, like, it's more you get to know Lami and Hot Pie a little bit. Yoren, we understand more about him and him kind of moving around gathering men and boys for the Night's Watch. And it's sort of a waiting chapter. It's an in-between the Gold Cloaks showing up in last chapter, and then we have this lull building suspense, right, as we wait and we wonder what that sound is out there. Are those wolves? Is that the Gold Cloaks coming back? Because we know that they said that they would. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're really thinking about in this chapter.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, I'll start with a little passage here. The road was a little more than 2 ruts through the weeds. The good part was, with so little traffic, there'd be no one to point the finger and say which way they'd gone. The human flood that had flowed down the King's Road was only a trickle here. The bad part was the road wound back and forth like a snake, tangling with even smaller trails and sometimes seeming to vanish entirely, only to reappear half a league further on when they had all but given up hope. Arya hated it. The land was gentle enough, rolling hills and traced fields interspread with meadows and woodlands and little valleys where willows crowded close to slow, shallow streams. Even so, the path was so narrow and crooked that their pace had dropped to a crawl. Where they're no longer on the King's Road. They're going to start traveling a different path, try to avoid the Gold Cloaks. But really, I mean, the big kind of takeaway from this chapter is, you know, some of the things they find not on the King's Road shows that the Lannister army is really looking for them. Mm-hmm. There is still there's still war going on, and you get to see that it's even affected a lot of these smaller areas in the Riverlands and as they're heading north.
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes up here first, I mean, you know, we see Arya kind of looking over her shoulder, wondering what the Gold Cloaks are, when they would catch up with them. She kept Needle real close to her and everything. They never made camp without putting out sentries and stuff to make sure that they were well guarded. You know, they eventually will come across a woman who, like, has lost her arm due to some, mm-hmm. an innocent who's lost her arm. And Yoren brings back, like, a 2-year-old babe who's been orphaned, maybe, or maybe that is her mother. We don't know. It's sort of just this sad scene where they're crying and the men hear the woman saying please, I think, over and over again. And the girl kind of crying, she couldn't really speak, or she had forgotten how to speak. That was something that kind of stood out to me. And I thought, wow, he's really just showing us that that war is affecting different all regions here. These small villages and everything, and that the people who suffer are the small folk. And mm-hmm. be careful now, because they may, you know, they may head down to King's Landing and then have suffered a bunch out in the fields, come to King's Landing for refuge, not get it, and they may start to cause some trouble later on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good world building by Gurr. I think, you know, maybe he viewed this chapter when he was writing as a bridge to just kind of set us up for what we're going to see, really kind of drive home that point. You know, is a lot of the chapters up until this point have really been focused on the royalty and the lords and the ladies. You know, then you've got Jon on the Wall, you know, Daenerys is way over in Essos doing her own thing. So now we're kind of getting introduced to really Arya's setting until she goes to Essos. I mean, this is mm-hmm. really where we're going to be, just out on the road, out in the middle of nowhere, running around the Riverlands and, you know, into the Vale a little bit. And it's a different ball game here. We're not in a city. We're not in a town. We're not on the Wall.
Yeah.
It's a totally different setting.
Yeah. One of the things that's noted here by one of the Black Brothers is that we're not far from the God's Eye. He said one morning, the King's Road won't be safe until we cross the Trident. So we'll come up around the lake along the western shore. They're not like to look for us there. So really they know that once they get to a territory that's defended by a different, Lord or what have you, mm-hmm. that they'll be safe. They get into maybe where the Starks or the Tullys are kind of controlling, or if they get over to even an influence from the Vale, like, they might be safer. So that's sort of the hope, is we have to get to that point, then we can get back on the King's Road. But for now, we're just trying to dodge them best we can.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just a little bit before that, it is interesting to note that they're beginning to treat Gendry a little bit differently,
mm-hmm.
because ooh, what's going on with him? He says Lami and the other orphans all treated the bull like someone special now because the queen wanted his head, though he would have none of it. You know, I never did nothing to no queen. I did my work as all bellows and tongs and fetch and carry. I was supposed to be an armor, and one day Master Mott says I got to join the Night's Watch. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd go off to polish his helm, but it is, he said, you know, he never puts it on, but
yeah, right.
They're all, and then they're talking about him a little bit. I bet he's that traitor's bastard, Lami said, the wolf's lord, the one they nicked on Baelor's steps. He is not, Arya declared. I mean, my father had one bastard, and that's Jon.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Don't confuse the two here. All right.
Exactly. So, after that, we do get to meet a couple more people here. You've got Kos and Kurz, who are just some other people who are, you know, they've been taken in as poachers, and he kind of sends them ahead. So there's not really a lot with these characters,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, we get introduced to just some other people, some other characters who show up for a brief period of time that the Gurr just adds in. So
yeah.
I think, again, well, it's this chapter is really a lot of world building.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why, you know, we're gaining these new individuals is because Yoren did decide not to take a boat. Like, he saw more potential in going across the land because he's thinking it's going to be fine. You know, he had no idea that the Gold Cloaks would come after him. It just you know, he thinks I'll be able to gather more people for the watch. That's his duty. That's his job. Had he have known or knew that they were in peril, he would have taken a boat. And he would have foregone, you know, trying to get any other men for the Night's Watch, essentially.
Well, I mean, I wonder when was the last time you think that the Night's Watch was ever challenged, right? I mean, most people want to avoid them, let alone run into them.
Right. You're not typically going up to them because they don't take part in any of this. So they're almost just like they're given a pass. You just don't think of it at all. Like, yep, there they go, whatever. We don't talk to them. We leave them alone. They do their thing. That's it. So, yeah. And Yorn's probably thinking that's how it's been for 30 years, as he says. It's been that way for a long time. So,
yeah. Some other stuff here. We have Arya. You know, they talk about how Koss and Kurz, you know, then you've got the younger boys are going to go pick blackberries. Arya, because she's a skilled climber, she goes after a rabbit. And that's because she knows, because she's a good climber, she knows that rabbits can't really climb up trees. So she hits it with a stick and then grabs it by her ears. And then Yorin uses that with some mushrooms and wild onions, which I'm sure is probably mentioned in the Game of Thrones cookbook.
I was going to say, it sounds so good.
That actually is where a lot of those come from in the official cookbook, The Feast of Ice and Fire.
Mm-hmm.
They take sections like that from it, and then they come up with some sort of recipe for it.
Okay, nice. Yeah, okay, cool. Because I'm kind of feeling a little hungry right now, to be honest with you.
Have you ever eaten rabbit?
Rabbit? Yes, I have. Yes.
I don't think I've ever had it. How does it taste?
Rabbit and squirrel, actually. Are some things that I used to eat. I had an uncle, a great uncle, who was all about it. He would go down, he would take trips, and he had his old farmstead where he would stay. You know, he'd go down there and he'd hunt and he'd bring them back and stuff and he'd cook them up for us. I don't really remember how they tasted, honestly. Like, I was younger, really young. And I know everybody says, well, they're supposed to taste tougher and things like that, but I really don't remember. I remember them being covered in gravy. So, like...
All right. You know. I wonder if it's closer. Well, more. It says, I just googled it. Of course, it says rabbit tastes closer to chicken. But you know, everyone says everything tastes like chicken.
Jeez.
So
yeah,
how is that?
That's Matrix level stuff right there. That's straight out of the Matrix. Like, you know, yeah, everything.
Everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
How do you cook it? You just cook it. You just fry it up, or
That's what he did. And then like he would use sort of some of the grease and stuff, and he'd make a gravy out of it, and yeah. Serve it. Yeah, it was just, I don't know if he seasoned it. I don't really know. So, again, I don't know how to cook, you know, my own meals, all right?
I make a mean bowl of cereal, okay? Outside of
toast and jelly. I'm pretty good there. Maybe I could, you know, I'm actually okay with an egg. Something interesting fact here. So, when Sir Matt lived with me for a little while, you know, Sir Matt can make it. And you're actually a pretty good cook. What was it I was making? And you were like, I was flipping eggs, wasn't I? Wasn't I flipping an egg? And you were just like, yeah, I'm just, you know, just scrambled it. Like you weren't really
I just make scrambled eggs, man. Yeah. I don't flip eggs. I don't do over easy.
Yeah.
I scrambled eggs. I don't know that I've ever made an over easy egg in my life.
Wow. I was proud of myself. I was like, wow, I can do. Okay. Cause I had no idea how to do half the stuff that you were doing. And I was like, at least I can make an egg.
I'm looking up. I'm looking up some stuff here. Yeah, a lot of people say, some people are saying it's more gamey than chicken, but I guess it is. It's a white meat, so I don't know, man. I guess maybe it tastes like you've eaten bird or chicken or mm-hmm. don't know.
Huh.
Well, but I don't know that I'd ever want to. You eat a rabbit, man. Things are cute.
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get, you know, if you're out here on the Night's Watch trying to survive and stuff. I mean,
well, yeah, I get that.
It's good. Tastes pretty good.
I've pretty much got a pet squirrel, the squirrel that lives in my backyard.
Oh boy.
Although it tried to come inside the other day and I wasn't having that, but I don't know that.
Wow.
Eat him, be like, oh, just get out of here.
That really is. He's real friendly then. Huh? It's good.
Yeah. But, so anyway, so we got Arya here. Yeah. Yorin stewed it with some mushrooms and some wild onions. Arya was given the whole leg since it was her rabbit, so she shares it with Gendry. The rest of them just get a spoonful. And we have her giving some to Jack and Hagar. you know, there's a hunter now, lumpy face, lumpy head, rabbit killer, you know, Rorg there. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so
they eat a little bit of a sweet corn.
Yeah, they do.
And this is when they begin to see they notice some people. There's a camp. There's a very small camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They start to see some of the war that goes on. So like they think it's the sun setting and it's actually some large fire that they see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he said let me go here. Yorn is talking about, you know, him and the tree. So first, yeah, no, you're right. There's a guy in the tree, the watcher, right? Who's got the air? Who's got he's drawn on him, right? Mm-hmm. As they walk by, so he's watching that guy. He says the others take him, right? Later on, after that, that's when Dobler spied the red glow against the evening sky. He says either this road went and turned again, or that sun setting in the north. Yorn climbed up to get a better look. Fire, he said. Wind should blow it away from us. Still, still need to be on the watch here. By dawn, the fire had burned itself out, but none of them slept very well that night. So, yeah, we get a lot of that where they're kind of tossing and turning in their sleep. It was midday when they arrived at the place where the village had been. The fields were charred, desolation for miles around. The houses blackened, shells, the carcasses burnt, butchered animals dotted the ground. They had some people who were like tied up and burned, right, and stuff. It was awful. So pretty terrible scene here. And I think that, you know, it's Arya says at one point that she's scared. I think Hot Pie says he's scared as well. They both kind of finally admit that they are afraid. Should we go in after them? Arya asked Gendry after Yorin and the others had been gone for a long time. Yorin said, wait. So they actually had called a halt, and he went off to kind of, see what was going on and to see if there was anybody else sort of causing a problem or if there were any survivors.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and then that the banner they see, spotted tree cat, yellow and black on a mud brown field, is a tiny little house called House Myatt. They're from the Western Land, so they're Lannister men. And even this house, this is like the only time they ever show up. So it's just another little house that there's not even really any history on or anything kind of in this chapter.
Yeah, I think one of the things, too, you're making a connection to remembering where we're at and remembering that the mountain has been out. They've been out doing all sorts of terrible things. You know, they've been burning villages, raping. They've been murdering, all sorts of crazy stuff. And the Brotherhood Without Banners is out there after these guys. So, like, there's some of that. Because it's not just straight war and chaos. Like, I mean, if Robb Stark's forces move in to a village and occupy it, typically they need shelter, food, they might take from these people or whatever for a little bit and ask for supply. But they're not burning and killing innocent people. You know, they're not like some woman shows up here and her arm's cut off. And there's people who were just for no reason, just because this band decided to move in here and maybe some great lord decided that they wanted to defy the crown. Like, these people didn't choose that. So There's a little bit of that. That's sort of what we're kind of getting to understand, is that it's pretty bad in this region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so basically, really the next kind of thing, you know, we talked about the one-armed woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Arya, as they're kind of having dinner there, she drinks too much water, so she has to go make water.
Mm-hmm.
And so as she's kind of out in the As she's kind of out there, she, you know, she's kind of looking for wolves, thinks she hears some. Then she kind of sees one.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually around this time, too, we're realizing that she can sneak around very easily, very well. She can sneak around and see, like, the first time she goes out to make water, they talk about the sentries, and they were people she could sneak right past. She also even draws a really interesting point to the orphan boys who were from King's Landing, who in Flea Bottom or in the alleys of King's Landing, they had no problem keeping eye out. Like they knew that land or that spot so well that they could hide from you. You would never see them. That they could, you know, keep an eye on you. But out here in the wilderness, they're really no good. And they're also scared. And this is just strange land to them. So even those who were out there, not the orphan boys, but others who were sentries, they're good. But Arya's better. She can sneak past them all, and she had to because she had to sneak out and, you know, and she had to go to the bathroom. So it's like, okay, there it is.
Yeah. And so, you know, the wolves that she comes up again, comes up on, you know, it says counting eyes, 2, 4, 8, 12, a whole pack. And then one of them comes out from under the trees, stares at her, bares his teeth. And all she could think about how stupid she was. And, how, you know, Hot Pie would gloat when they all found her half eaten body. But then the wolf turned and raced back into the darkness. I don't think in the show that we see that, right?
Oh, I haven't seen. I don't know. I don't.
But then, because then she does run into what, you know, she runs into Nymeria and other wolves when she comes back from Essos.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering. I'm thinking maybe that was they kind of looked at this scene from the books and said, oh, we could add that in. Have it be Nymeria, and because mm-hmm. you know, in some of those later seasons have like they add in. I think it's the season where Euron kills Balon Greyjoy. You know that happens way earlier in the books, and they kind of bring that back. So maybe that was kind of some inspiration for that scene. And they said, "Oh, well, let's make it Nymeria as well." And then yeah. You know we don't see Nymeria, but there was obviously rumors and stuff that there was a scene that was filmed with wolves showing up to Winterfell to help in the battle of the. At Winterfell, the third episode of season 8. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe
that could be
kind of, yeah. Maybe that's kind of some inspiration there. So then she comes back and she kind of gets into it with Yoren a little bit,
right?
You know, where she's basically saying it's like, you know, I wish I was home. I want to go home. And then this is when Yoren says, you know, I've been bringing men to the wall for 30 years, and all that time I've only ever lost 3. You had an old man die of a fever. City boy got snake bit while relieving himself, and a fool tried to kill me in my sleep, and he got a red smile for his trouble. 3 and 30 years. He says, a ship now might have been wiser. No chance of finding more men on the way, but still, he'd go by ship. 30 years, I've been taking this king's road. You know, and he says, you know, go to sleep, boy. You know, like basically just, you know. Mm-hmm. We got to keep moving.
Yeah. There's some frustration. I mean, she, you know, he even almost kind of allows that, like, yeah, had I known this was going to be this big of a deal, like I would have maybe done things differently. And Arya is thinking, man, if I would have stayed in the city, or, you know, I would have not have let them cut my father's head off. It just kind of saddens her to think about all of that. And then Yoren goes, you know, he says the orphan boys have no fathers, right? He's also trying to help her understand that, yes, it's bad, it's terrible, but there are others, you know, suffering through far worse. And it's just tough. She's in a tough spot. She's having to do, you know, she's in a place where she's in peril. She can barely get any sleep. She has to sneak out to make water. She's keeping needle close. Her father is dead. She's haunted by sort of, you know, some of those nightmares and stuff. And everything's sort of uncertain. But yeah. I think Yoren too maybe gets a little laxed, like thinking, like I know he's a veteran of trying to get back to, or you know, traversing this land and stuff. But I like you said earlier, I don't think he's ever really been pursued
in this
by
position.
Gold Cloaks. Yeah, you've come across, you have a skirmish or whatever, or this or that, but really to have orders from the, you know, the king or the queen, whoever, to seize this boy, it's a big deal. Yeah, so there's that. Yeah. And also interesting real quick too, Tyrion, you know, we just had the conversation about the gold cloaks and stuff. Had he have known, these were some of the, I guarantee some of the last orders being carried out by Slint and by Cersei, because he, you know, Tyrion is now established sort of a new commander of the City Watch. So he would have none of this. I mean, he's not really, maybe he could understand the boy. Maybe he could allow that to go, but the killing of a young babe, he definitely was not for. So, but I still think he probably would say, what is a bastard boy to, you know, to you, Cersei? He's going to the wall. I mean, like, that's good enough. Like, let it be. Let he's going away forever, and we'll swear his oath. So leave him alone. But it's too late. The order's already been sent, and the gold cloaks are already out there on their way.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know, real quick here, just as I'm kind of thinking, you know, so people like Jaqen, right? So you know how when people go there to the wall on their own free will,
mm-hmm.
like John, right? You know, once you say the vows, you're in. But theoretically, you could go there, not say them, and then leave. Man, this mm-hmm. isn't for me. So yeah. I wonder what happens with the prisoners that show up at the wall.
Yeah, that's that. So with them, they've agreed already to take the black. You know, I feel like they've right. already said, got to. But if you were just somebody who, like, you know what, I'm gonna start over. I'm gonna go with the Night's Watch and
right. You so could are then, they are they are they ba- so once so once those people show up, they're basically forced in. Because I wonder, they would
yeah. Otherwise,
they'd still have to say their vows.
Yeah. They would have to, if you get up there and you're a prisoner and you say, you know what, I don't want to take the black. Well, then you have to face your punishment, which was you're gonna lose a hand. You know, so rather than lose a hand, a lot of those guys said, "Nah, I'll just go to the wall."
Yeah, I just can't remember if that's ever really specifically said that.
I don't think
it happens in the books.
No, I don't think it's ever said, but that's sort of implied that, like, if you, that's the whole reason they didn't want to lose a hand, so they came here. You know, I'll keep my hand, just go to the watch. That's fine, whatever. Now some of them might say, they might go up there and be like, this is freaking cold. I'm going to go back and, yeah, take my hand off. That's fine. But some people, they face death. They face death exactly. or they face something worse. And so they're definitely not leaving. Yeah. So there's that. It's just a chance for life.
Yeah. I wonder how many people have ever done that. You know what? I'm good. You know? Mm-hmm.
yeah.
I'd rather be in Dorne or wherever. And have one hand than be freezing to death up here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay. Goodness.
All right. Well, hey, next week we're into Davos. So it's a much bigger chapter, a lot more going on. So mm-hmm. that's where we'll be this. Yeah. The short chapter. Yeah. This week is what it is. But
yeah, it's fine. It's good. That's what we're doing, and we're taking it chapter by chapter and learning about these characters and trying to tease as much out of it as we can. So,
yeah. Okay, well, move on over to Send a Raven. This is from Sir Nicholas of House Atreides, right?
Yeah.
Is that Atreides? On an island of Caladan, just south of the Isle of Faces. Hello, I have been listening to your podcast for well over a year. I thoroughly enjoy your podcast. I'm a big fan of the show, and your podcast just makes me like it that much better. What other podcasts do you host? I already subscribe to Hyperspace Hangout and Wheel of Time podcast. Is there any other I could listen to? Two, really. I host a video game podcast called Box Trick, and Sir Ezra is on a Lord of the Rings podcast called Uptuck and Tolkien, an unexpected podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are a couple places where you can find us. And we just the fandoms we love, you know, things that we're really into. I wouldn't podcast about something if I didn't really like it, you know, because I feel like you want to get to know people who are into the same thing. We are already looking for updates on all this stuff, you know, whether it's a new movie, a TV show, a book. So those are some of our faves, you know. So now don't get me wrong here. I love Stranger Things and The Witcher and all that other kind of, you know, stuff too. So like I'm super into sci-fi and fantasy. It's just some of it you like more than you like others, and you've been studying it or you've been in it for a long time. And like, I mean, I tell you guys, like Star Wars, I've been reading those books since I was elementary school. Been reading some books from Star Wars, and I love it. And it's where we're at. So actually, and then crazy, you know, Lord of the Rings was The Hobbit was the first book I ever really truly finished. So that's fun. Yeah.
I love The Hobbit. I like it more than I like The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And it's just sort of a good little hearty adventure. So
mm-hmm.
yeah
and then at this point, I don't know. We always joke about doing more. I don't know that I have the mental capacity for more at this at this point. And especially, you know, the Game of Thrones prequel, House of the Dragon. It's 2022 is what the executives have said, mm-hmm. and so, you know, we just kind of think about, well, that's going to be the next big thing going on here, and so I'd really like to, probably not this year, but next year as we get ready for that, dive back into Fire and Blood, World of Ice and Fire. There's the novellas, so you add that stuff on, and then mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, I at this point,
it's a lot.
It is definitely a lot.
So let me just, so since we have some time here, you know, like when I go from, I mean, this is crazy. Like I go from talking about Rand, Matt, and Perrin, you know, and the crazy things that are going on in Wheel of Time to Jon, Arya, Sansa. Like, it takes me a second. You'll hear me sometimes like pause before a name because I'm like, getting shift your focus. And sometimes we record all of this on like a weekend. And so it's funny how what we do in between the show to kind of like switch gears, you know, like we'll listen to some of the audiobook, or we will listen to like some track or something to pump us up or get our minds off of it and stuff. Because it's a lot. There's a lot in Game of Thrones. There's a lot in Lord of the Rings. There's a lot in Wheel of Time. And there's a lot in Star Wars. And then, you know, there's a lot in video games that you're keeping up with. Like, it's just a lot. And so I think, like, those are our favorite things. And since they are our favorites, we've decided, like, okay, this is what we want to do. And we're super into it. We super enjoy it. So we're good. You know, if you didn't have that joy and you weren't passionate about it, then it would suck. And it just wouldn't be fun. So, but like I get off of here though, and I will go when we're done, we'll do some editing and stuff. And then we're also working on some upgrades and things for all of these shows, which you will see later. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll probably each of us go listen to an audiobook or look up a theory or a YouTube video. So it's what we do. We did it before we started all the shows, and we'll do it long after the shows are over. So
yeah, I spend a lot of time on the A Song of Ice and Fire Reddit. It's a really great community over there. All people are always submitting just awesome theories, awesome questions. There's a lot of really good resources in A Song of Ice and Fire as well that there's not in a lot of other fandoms, and it makes things really, really. You know, you have the Atlas of Ice and Fire with the book. Again, the Reddit community, and then there is A Search of Ice and Fire where you can like find any specific thing. So some nights I'm just like, okay, I want to look up a new Game of Thrones theory, because that's how like intrigued I am by it. I'm still I'll just hey, you know, let me go search this, and I listen to it, and then I, you know, it's been about 6 months, and so I'm probably about to, right now I'm listening to a book for our Star Wars podcast, but I think I'm gonna go dive back into Dunk and Egg. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a little bit. And so it's time to just replow through those.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. So it's a lot of fun. And we really do appreciate you guys sending us, you know, ravens and theories or things you want us to look up or taking us to different parts of the series, because it's helpful and it keeps us sort of, you know, fired up about things. And I know it's sort of a time where, yeah, we're doing the reread. There's a little bit of a lull, but that's why we continue to do Green Dreams and we continue to do the extended edition, just to sort of, you know, have fun and think about, theorize about the differences between the book and the show, which is the big thing right now. So yeah, still so much. And then there's so much more to come. Like the prequel series is going to be huge. It's going to be mm-hmm. great.
And when season 8 out on DVD and stuff yet? Let me look that up. I don't think so, right?
I don't know. I have not. I feel like we would have seen something about it. Although it should be, shouldn't it? Look at us here sitting here. I mean, because typically all my stuff is digital, but you're starting to say maybe there's
Well, you remember, if you remember, there was
some extras. Extra
there's
stuff,
a lot yeah. of there's a lot of extra stuff. Yeah, it is. It is. So I need to go through and watch that so I can see all the extra stuff. Yeah, it came out in December. So
okay. Awesome. So yeah, all right, that's cool. We'll I have to get that and see what's there. There'd be some hidden gems or something. Yeah.
Exactly. So. All right. Well, guys, that's kind of it for us this week. Again, kind of a shorter chapter, but next week's going to be pretty huge as we get into the first Davos chapter, which I'm sure is exciting for a lot of people. It's nice actually to. This is what we talked about with this book. Is some people have said, "Man, you know, it feels like we talk about the same characters a lot." Well, you do in the first book, but once you kind of get into Clash of Kings a little bit, you start hitting new characters, and the world just explodes. So,
yeah. Yep.
So, all right. Well, we want to thank you guys for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing Chapter 10, Davos 1 of A Clash of Kings.
If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
We will see you in a week, and remember that the night is dark and full of terrors.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.